You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, well, everybody ready?
Yes.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 15. We have been teaching for the last few Wednesday nights on a passionate faith. Everybody say a passionate faith. Now, you know, when you say faith in general, you could talk about our testimony, our witness. We need to be passionate about that. Specifically, I'm talking about our requests that we make to God to get a miracle, to get a healing, whatever the case may be. And it takes passion for that to happen. We often, you know, you will say, well, you know, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. Well, no, he won't. In fact, you know, he doesn't even save you that way.
That's right.
You don't get saved unless you call on God. You don't get saved unless you believe God. You don't get saved unless you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you have to be passionate in that respect even to be saved. You have to believe what the Bible says. Come, yield yourself to it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so even there, salvation itself, and you know God wants everybody to be saved, yet we know everybody's not saved. You know Jesus died so that everybody could go to heaven, and yet everybody does not go to heaven. So what is the difference? Why is it that some go to heaven and some don't? Some get saved and some don't. Well, some call. Are you with me? And they believe and they receive. Now, everything else God has is on the same basis. And it doesn't have a lot to do with your feeling. It doesn't have a lot to do with, you know, what everybody else is saying about it or what you think about it or I think about it or even when you pray what you feel at that point. A lot of times I pray, I don't feel any different. Thank God there's times that it changes immediately. Here, Mary Beth already shared that she's already sensing a difference in her body, you know, from just praying right then. I'd say this, though. Most cases, we probably pray, and it takes a while before we feel any different. But I believe God hears us when we pray.
Amen.
I really do. And I believe even in salvation experiences, I've heard of people that just had some tremendous emotional experiences when they got saved. I personally didn't have that kind of experience. I called on God. I felt a little peace. But as the days went by, I begin to get more sure, more confident. And are you with me?
Yep.
But I know I got saved when I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, when I asked him to help me, and I called his name, Jesus. And then I began to learn more, and that became more secure, more sure in my life. Are you with me? And so there's days I feel saved even, and there's days I don't, you know, there's a feeling. What's the feeling? Sometimes I feel saved, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. But I know what I did, and I know in my heart of hearts, it's a knowing, it's not just a feeling. I know I stood on the Word, and the Word is true.
Amen.
I know I'm forgiven. How about you? You know you're forgiven?
Yes.
Have you repented about some things in your life you did years ago? Did you know if you sat here and thought about some of those things, that guilt will come back on you, that shame will come back, you'll start feeling bad about what you did and already repented of?
Yeah, that's right.
Did God not forgive you? Of course he did. You don't go by those feelings.
That's right.
See, even guilt, even shame is a symptom of unforgiveness. But if we've been forgiven, we don't pay attention to the symptoms. So healing, when you pray for God to, you know, to be healed and you believe God to heal you and so on and so forth, sometimes those symptoms hang around. Sometimes you still feel the same way you did. But you know what? We're believing God in his word, and those symptoms are going to have to change.
Amen.
Even when I forgive someone, I don't always feel the forgiveness.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes I'm just saying it because God says so. He told me to do it.
That's right.
And I know it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to obey God. Even if it hurts, I'm going to obey God. It hurts me to forgive some people. Don't look at me like that. Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
It hurts you to forgive some people. You don't want to forgive them. They don't deserve it.
Amen.
Well, you know, hey, we didn't deserve forgiveness, but we got it.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah. But if you'll go through the motions, and you'll, the feelings will begin to change. See, feelings are things that change. They can change. They can change. God's word can't. It just can't change. But you can take God's word and change your feelings. You can change your moods. Yeah. You can absolutely change your mood and you can change your feelings by doing what God says. And so when we're talking about a passionate faith, we're talking about locking in. We're talking about getting determined, getting bold. We're talking about focus. We're talking about not giving up, not quitting. Not till this thing turns around, we are not going to back up. We're not going to turn to the left. We're not going to turn to the right. We're going to set our face like a flint. We're going to focus in on God and His Word, and we are not going to be denied.
Yes.
Amen? And that's what you see in the Bible. That's what you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, case after case after case. People that would not be denied. We've talked about some of those cases. The man sick of the palsy had four friends that let him down, tore the roof off the house where Jesus was, and let him down through the roof to get him healed. They were determined. The one with the issue of blood came up through the crowd, through a press of people, come up behind Jesus, grabbed his garment, for she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she felt in her body she was healed. That plague and power of virtue came out of Jesus, entered her, and she was healed. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. That woman was passionate. She was determined to get her healing. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who had a daughter that was sick, he thought she actually died while he was talking to Jesus. Went to Jesus, fell down before, worshipped him, and said, hey, come over to my house, lay your hands on my daughter, that she may be healed and she shall live. That was bold. That was passionate. And on the way, of course, we have the story of the daughter actually dying, and Jesus turning to him said, as soon as he heard, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. And the man must have continued to believe. Because he went in and raised her from the dead. That's a passionate faith. The two blind men that followed Jesus, crying out to him for mercy. We talked about that. And they went right in the house where Jesus was. And he finally just asked him, he says, what do you want? I think that's fascinating. Doesn't God know what we want? Well, sure he does. But he wants you to ask him. That's the rules. Daddy makes the rules. It's Daddy's house.
Amen.
Daddy's rules are, you have to come to him, you have to ask him, and you have to believe him. You may not like that, but that's the rules. You see, you're not Daddy. You don't make the rules.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If you're going to live in His house, you're going to eat at His table, you're going to have to abide by His rules.
Right.
His rules are pretty plain. You come to Him, you ask Him, you don't point, you don't sit at the table and go,
That's right.
And you don't sit there and go, You don't get your food that way. You have to ask for it. In Jesus' name.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Or you know what? You don't get to eat.
That's right.
You say, what are you talking about? Well, that's what the Bible says very plainly. You do not get saved unless you ask.
That's right.
But it's offered to you. Mm-hmm. See, He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to believe Him. He wants you to trust Him. And He wants you to have passion about it. Amen. So we're just going over cases where people were passionate about receiving a miracle or receiving a healing or deliverance, or an answer to their prayer. I don't know what you're going through, but the answer is in God's Word. If you are passionate enough and focused enough to pursue it. Amen? Not flippantly, not just on occasion, not maybe have us pray. And thank God for prayer cards. I'm not dissing prayer cards. You understand what I'm saying? We believe in prayer cards. And I believe many of these people that turn these prayer requests in are passionate. They want us to agree with them. That's fine. But if you just think just putting it on a card and throwing it down here, it'll be taken care of. No, you need to believe, and we're believing with you.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That's right.
I don't want to be hard here. I'm just saying we're believing God. There's nothing magic about a card or magic about all of us saying some words here. It's God that heals, and it's Him that we're believing.
Yes.
That's right.
And it's the name of Jesus who shed His blood so you could use that name.
Amen.
It's the name of Jesus that causes sickness to go and demons to flee. And we are believers, and the name should be on our lips. And we're the ones that must use it and must focus in on this thing and drive the devil out.
That's right.
We are here to defeat the devil. That's what we're here for. Really, he's defeated in the spirit, but we demonstrate that defeat by using that name and praying and believing God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Y'all found Matthew 15. Matthew 15, here's another instance. And what I want to bring out, and I always want to center in on what I want us to see here, is that there is a human element in every one of these cases we're turning to and looking at. Each Wednesday night, we've been taking a different case and looking at it. And there were words that were said and actions that were made by the person that received the miracle. Now, we often talk about Jesus and His power and His love and His compassion and all that. And without that, we wouldn't be healed, we wouldn't be saved, and we couldn't get healed. I know that. But that alone doesn't heal us. There's a lot of people who are sick didn't get healed, even in Jesus' day. The ones that came to him got healed. The ones that were determined and passionate, not only did they get healed or merit healing in the sense that they believed, that's the only work they could have done is believe, but they're the ones that he writes about. I think it's significant. You know, I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of people you think got healed during Jesus' ministry? In many cases, just multitudes were healed. But I think it's very significant. There's only very few, though, that he takes the time to explain their personal testimony, how they got healed, what they said and what they did. Why did he pick out of the literally thousands, I won't think any scholar would disagree with that. I don't know of anybody. I don't care what denomination you might be or what church you go to within the Christian faith. We'd all agree, I think everybody would agree, that there were literally thousands of people that were healed by Jesus. And just in the cases that it says multitudes, several times it says multitudes. But why is it that there are some that merit an individual hearing or an individual explanation? The woman with issue of blood. Down to the very words she said. The things she even thought in her heart. The actions that she went through. The men that tore the roof off. It tells us what they did. It tells us how many there were. I think it's interesting. These individual cases are there for our benefit. They're there for our instruction. They're there so we can get what they got.
That's right.
So we can have what they had. If we do what they did, we'll get what they got.
That's right.
If we'll talk like they talked and be persistent like they were persistent, then we can receive what they received. These are not just stories filled in a book. These are for our instruction. This is for our example. And there's lots of good examples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? Matthew 15, notice the 21st verse. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came. Now, Mark's account says a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman. She was a Greek. She was not a Jew. That's the whole point. That she was just a local yokel, but she wasn't a Jewish woman. And so they make a point of saying that. I think that's fascinating too. God cares about people. You say, well, I'm not of that class. Well, God, it doesn't matter what class you are socially. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Are you with me? What race you are. Are you kidding? God doesn't care. He loves you. Actually, He does care. He cares about all of us. From the highest to the lowest. You know, from the beggar to the rich man. He loves everybody. And here's a woman, and this is what's fascinating. This is under the old covenant where Jesus himself just ministered to Jews.
Amen.
I think it's significant even in how hard it seemed he was here.
Yeah.
The outcome was still a miracle and still a deliverance because they're persistent. So it shows us even though he was sent to the Jews, and he even said that, anybody that would believe could get a miracle. What about the audience he gave the woman at the well who was a Samaritan who Jews had no dealings with? And yet Jesus told her, if you drank the water that I offered, you'd never thirst again.
Yeah, right.
And she went out and evangelized the whole city.
Yes, she did. Amen.
What about the centurion that came to Jesus in Matthew the 8th chapter? A Roman centurion came to Jesus and he said, I'm not even worthy. You come to my house. You just speak the word. Only my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at his faith and told him, as you have believed, so be it unto you. And his servant was healed that very hour. So Jesus really was a healer of everyone that would have come to him. Even though he ministered to the Jews and went to the Jews, if you were persistent enough, okay?
Amen.
If you were passionate enough, and you pushed through, you believed him and trust him, you get your miracle. Because we have cases in the Bible where that happened. So I don't know what you're thinking. Sometimes we think we're inferior. Sometimes we think, well, we've sinned too much. Or, you know, I'm for repenting of our sins. Stay with me. I'm not advocating going out and just sinning and then believing God. No. But I'm saying if you turn around at any point and repent and come to God, He will, if you're passionate enough, you're folks enough, He will heal you. He will bring you a miracle. You're not paying the price for your sin. This healing, this sickness that you've got, this poverty that you're going through, this anguish and pain you're going through is not a penalty for the sins you have committed. Now, if you'll repent, God will forgive you and He will heal you. I'm sure any one of these people could have stopped and said, well, you know, probably I deserve this. This thing that has come on me as a result of my sin, I deserved every bit of it. Well, I'm sure we all deserve a whole lot more than we got. But once we repent and come to Jesus, it's another ball game altogether.
Amen.
Past is over, we're forgiven, and we're candidates for miracle signs and wonders if we truly believe. I don't care what your background is or care what you've done. If you're willing to turn around and come to Jesus and hang in here and keep believing, keep trusting, don't give up, don't turn to the left or the right, the past is over. How much? From right now back, it's over.
Amen.
Yesterday's gone.
Yes.
Well, it's just a result. Okay, well, repent of whatever you did. Repent of it and let's press in. Amen. Let's press in. Here comes this woman. She's not even a Jew. I mean, when you think about this woman, I mean, what gave her the right? Who did she think she was coming to Jesus and getting a miracle? He's a Jewish Messiah. She's a Greek. She's a Canaanite, Syrophoenician woman. Are you getting this?
Yes.
We're not talking about new covenant. We're not talking about after the resurrection. We're talking about old covenant. Jesus walking around before he died and rose again. And God still would have healed anybody and did heal many people, even in the Old Testament, that weren't part of the covenant. Remember Naaman that dipped in the river 7 times and got healed of leprosy? He wasn't a Jew. He was a Syrian.
Amen.
But he obeyed God. He did what Elijah told him to do.
Amen.
Okay, so what's holding you back? What's your reason? Why do you think God's not healing you? Why do you think he's not giving you your miracle? Now, I'm not talking about if you're standing in faith, stand in faith. Maybe it's been a while. Don't give up. Don't quit. That's what I'm saying. Don't let the devil beat you over the head. Don't let him talk you out of what God promises you.
Yes. Amen.
Be passionate. Be focused. Be determined.
Yes.
Okay. Behold, 22nd verse, a woman of Canaan, Canaanite woman, came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. She wasn't even asking about something she earned or merited, or was worthy. She just said, just have mercy on me.
Yes.
Everybody say mercy?
Mercy.
You know, mercy is when you don't merit it. Mercy is when God just does it, and you don't deserve it, and you don't earn it. It's kind of like being saved.
Yeah.
By grace are you saved. So you're saved because of the mercy of God. And let me tell you something, you're healed because of the mercy of God too. You don't earn that either.
That's right.
But you do have to believe to receive it.
Right.
We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. But I would submit to you that the promises of God are on the same basis. The promises of God are because of God's mercy, because His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Over and over in the Bible, you'll hear people crying out for mercy. We just talked about the 2 blind men that God healed. And you know what they said? Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what they said. And they were wanting healing.
Yes.
They were actually Jews. They were actually children of Israel. They could have stood and said, it's our right. We're the children of Israel. Give us our healing. They said, had mercy on us.
Yes.
So just from a standpoint of mercy, they could have got healed. You can too. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I believe healing is a right as a new Christian, as a new covenant believer, new born again believer. I believe that Jesus bore stripes in his body that you might be healed. No question about it. But out of his mercy, he provided that for us. So here's this woman who says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. But he answered her not a word. Wow. Now, this always fascinated me. I don't understand all this. Don't have all the answers. But what I do know is this woman didn't quit.
Amen.
I don't really know why he didn't answer right away. You might say he was just seeing if she really believed or not. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But what I do know, and this is not speculation. I mean, you can read into it anything you want. I mean, you can think about why Jesus did it. It doesn't tell us why. But one thing we know for sure, what we do know is the woman didn't quit.
That's right.
And what we see here is persistence, and we see determination, and we see passion.
Right.
We don't see a flippant faith. We don't see it, shoot it up there, hope it comes up triple nickels, pull it down, you pull the letter down, hope it comes up triple nickels. We don't see someone just trying something. We don't see someone just trying it once or twice and giving up. We see a persistence here.
Amen.
That's what we see in these cases that we've gone over and over. A persistent faith. That's what got a miracle. You say, well, Jesus didn't answer her. Well, you know, sometimes I pray and I feel like the heavens are brass, as they say. Sometimes I pray and it feels like I just, everything I say is like a lead balloon. Sometimes I feel pretty anointed. Sometimes I don't. Are you with me? Sometimes I'm praying, I'm in the zone. I mean, I'm just rolling. Sometimes I'm just yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying stuff. It just seems it's coming out that way. Yeah. You ever been there?
Yeah.
But I know the word works.
That's right. Amen.
And if I just sound like yada, yada, blah, 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 I'm still going to say it.
Amen.
I'm going to say it because the word says to say it.
Right.
I'm going to say it because God promises us if we'll do this, he'll. He didn't say, if you will ask and feel real good about it. Then I will do it. No, he doesn't say that. If, you know, whatsoever you desire, when you pray and feel real good about that prayer. I mean, attaboy, pat yourself on the back. Woo, I felt it. Doesn't always work that way. Come on, am I being honest here? I'm helping you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I do feel that way. Sometimes I don't. But it does not matter. It does not matter. God said in his word that he would do this. Sometimes I feel like he is not answering me. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't change his word. It doesn't change what I do. He answered her not a word. 23rd verse. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Sometimes it is your religious friends that try to stop you from believing God. Give it up. Oh, please. You've been praying that for years. Quit it. Well-intentioned, good friends, you know. These were the disciples that were begging Jesus to get rid of her. Jesus, she won't quit coming. She's still believing that. Can you imagine how obnoxious Joshua and Caleb must have gotten after 40 years? Hey, let me tell you something, though. They got their miracle, didn't they? They walked into Promised Land. But they didn't give up. They kept saying it. They just kept praying it. They kept believing it. They did not stop. They were standing on the word. So it says, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, now this is amazing to me. I mean, Jesus, this is hard. I mean, I don't think there's any way to smooth over this deal. Jesus said to her a very hard thing. It says here, Jesus said it. He answered, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're Canaanite. You're Greek. You're not a Jew. You don't fall in that category. You know, why did Jesus say that? I don't know. I don't have a clue. I really don't. But this I do know. This woman kept coming. Y'all catching this? See, what you can't deny is this woman kept coming. She saw the nature of God, all the rules and all the regulations. She still came through to his character and his nature. It was his character and his nature to heal. Whatever reason you have in your mind that God wants you sick, you need to get that out of your mind because God's character and nature is to heal. Whatever reason you think he's denying you this miracle, you need to get that out of your mind because God's very nature and character is to heal. He is the Lord that healeth thee. You need to get so focused on that that you're like an animal, like a dog on a hunt, that you will not let go. You're not going to quit until you get this because it is God's very nature to do miracle signs and wonders. It is his very character and his very nature to do the impossible. He delights in the impossible. Whatever roadblocks you hit, whatever mood you go through, and seemingly God has forsaken you, seemingly the way you feel, don't you believe it. You just keep coming. Don't you stop. This woman did not quit. She did not quit. Jesus himself said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him. You know what? She adjusted her attitude. She adjusted herself. She said, okay, well, I'm going to get this miracle. So what do I need to do here? Maybe I need to worship more. I'll just worship you because I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep coming because I believe you want me healed and you want my daughter delivered. So I'm going to worship you. So it says she knelt down and she worshiped him and saying, Lord, help me. Wow. How persistent would we be, I wonder? You know, maybe you prayed a while, nothing happened. It looks to me like Jesus turned the woman down. And I don't understand that. And yet she just kept coming. He's still sitting there. First he doesn't answer. Then he makes a statement about going to the Jews only, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and she worshiped him. But he answered, hey, it gets worse. 26th verse. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, I will give you a little insight here. That wasn't as big as insult as it sounds when you read that, because that's what all Jews called Gentiles. They were just dogs. Now, it is an insult, but maybe not as big as you would think, because that's what they called everybody that wasn't a Jew. And so all the Greeks, all the Gentiles, everybody was just dogs. And so he's saying, you're not the children, you're the dogs. And it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. Everybody say children's bread.
Children's bread.
I think it's significant also that the right, it's the right of children, God's children, to be healed. It is their bread. And we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And healing is the children's bread. Are you a child of God? Well, healing is the bread. It's your bread. It's your right as a child of God. What's interesting here is this woman wasn't even a child of God under the old covenant. She wasn't even a Jew. But you know what she was? She was persistent.
Amen.
She was passionate. And she would not be denied. How soon do you quit? How soon do I quit? That's a big question, see. Because I think we quit too soon. I think we stop too soon. We've been praying, we've been believing, yet the battle gets a little rough and, you know, we have a few bad days and it piles up on us and then we just said, oh man, it's just not worth a fight. Well, you lost it right then. You just bowed out and you quit. Man, I mean, I think it's awesome this is all in here. I don't understand, I don't have it all figured out as far as why Jesus did what he did and said what he said, but I do know that everything is recorded word for word. And what you see over here over and over is this woman's absolutely determined faith. She would not be denied. Do you have that kind of faith? If you don't, you need to work on it. If you need a miracle and you need a deliverance and you need an answer, you need to work on your persistence more than anything else, because that's what faith is. Faith is a persistence. Faith is a focus. And we can say the right words, and we've got the scripture, and we confess it in Jesus' name, all that. I know that. That's the mechanics of it, okay? That is the mechanics of it. But down behind all that is passion. I know guys can go, you know, you see kids out playing football or, you know, whatever the case may be, or softball or soccer. You see little guys. You see big guys. And what always amazes me is you think, man, what is that little guy doing out? You know, little league or soccer or something, and the range of size is nothing like professional. The range of size is a kid's this high, and he's looking at a kid that high on the other side of the line playing football, you know. And you're thinking, what is going on? But it's amazing how much passion can make a difference. You can take a little guy that's got heart, he's got soul, he's got passion. He is going to hammer that guy. The big guy may just be a Pillsbury Doughboy. I don't know, you know. Or he may be, you know, pumped up. But passion makes all the difference. We see that in sports. We see that in business. We see that people that work. You can't go by, you know, the size of the dog in a fight. You got to go by the size of the fight and the dog.
Amen. Yeah.
And so faith is not just a mechanical thing where you just get the principles down and say the right words. That's part of it, yes, because there are rules. But without passion, it won't work. That's where we miss it, I believe, in most cases. That's what you see in the individual cases where they got a miracle. They didn't just say the right thing. They did that. And that's important.
Yes.
You better say the right thing. I'm all about confession, confessing the word. But I'm all about passionately confessing it. Consistently confessing it. Determined and diligent and passionate about it. So he says it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Children's bread meaning her miracle, her deliverance that she was asking for her daughter. God looks at that just like bread. God will feed you if you need feeding, and he'll heal you if you need healing. And he'll save you if you need saving. And he'll deliver you if you need deliverance. If you're focused enough, you come and you ask him and you will be determined not to be denied. She said, 27 verse, this is awesome. I love this. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Hey, this woman wasn't going to leave. What else you got to say for the woman to leave? Come on. Don't answer her. I'm only sent to the Jews. You're just a dog. I mean, write down the list of things. This woman, she might as well say it. It's not in here, but she might as well just said this. Jesus, I'm not leaving till I get my miracle. I'm going to tie a rope around you. I'm going to tie a rope around me. And where you go, I go. I mean, I'm not leaving till I get my miracle. Doesn't matter what you say. I know who you are. I know you.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I know you're a miracle worker. I know you're a healer.
Amen.
I know you care. See, it's a matter of character. It's a matter of nature. It is God's nature to heal. Are you convinced? See, I mean, there's millions of reasons why we don't get healed. There really is. Maybe a million of them, maybe 10 million of them why you don't get healed. But you only really need one good reason to get healed. Because God is a healer. That's enough. In fact, it negates all the other reasons. It just does away with all the negatives. She said, truth, Lord, or yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Man, this is so awesome. How much power does it take? How much of a move of God does it take for you to get a healing, get a miracle? Just a crumb is all you need. Just a crumb. She said, Lord, I'm not even asking for the whole loaf. Just let me have a, throw me a crumb, Lord. That's all I need. Even the dogs eat the crumbs. I may be a dog, but I'm going to sit right here at your table and I'm going to sit at your feet till I catch a crumb. I got a dog that does that. You got a dog that does that? Got a dog in the house that just when we go to eat, here they come. Get right at your feet. And when we eat at our house with all the kids over, Bentley, Mr. Bentley, to everybody else, okay. Mr. Bentley, or Sir Barks-a-Lot, he's a little half Shih Tzu, half Maltese dog. You know, I've told stories about Mr. Bentley. Mr. Bentley is a one-woman dog. Follows Brenda around everywhere she goes. Just everywhere she goes. All, he goes in the kitchen, he goes in the kitchen. Wherever she goes, he's right with her until it's time to eat. Mr. Bentley doesn't like the little kids. He doesn't bite them or anything. He gets a little nervous around them, so he gets in my lap or her lap or goes back and jumps in the bed to bed when they come over. But when it's time to eat, he is the kid's best friend because they are sloppy eaters. They'll go in the living room, eat on the coffee table. Mr. Bentley is right there looking up at him because he knows they're going to drop something. He's their best friend until it's, eating time's over, then he's gone. But he sits under the coffee table, because we got them spread everywhere. There's about 20-something of us when we get together. So we've got them on the floor, got to hang them from the windows. You're everywhere, But he hangs around the kids. Why? Because that's what dogs do. They get the benefit of the crumbs. This is what that lady was saying. Okay, you feed the bread to the kids. That's fine. I'll be a dog. Call me a dog. I'll be a dog. I'll be a dog at your feet until I get a crumb. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table. I will hang around you. I will lay at your feet. I have come. I will worship you. I will do whatever it takes, Jesus. I know you're a healer. I will not quit. You tell him, what do I need to do? Here I am. I want this healing. Yes. Wasn't going to quit. If I need to change something, I'll change. If I need to change my approach, I'll change it. If I need to come up with another argument, I don't know, whatever, I'm not going to quit. Now, thank God you don't have to do all that. Praise God, Jesus, by his stripes you've been healed. And the Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed, and you can come in faith and receive it. But I believe it's a passionate faith. I believe it's a faith that doesn't quit and doesn't turn around, doesn't give up, and is not denied. It says here, truth, Lord. King James says, truth, Lord. I'm reading New King James. It says, yes, Lord. Yet even, the 27 verse, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Listen to what Jesus said. 28th verse. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Great is your faith. Would you tell me what it is? I mean, just summing up here, this great faith. Jesus said great faith. What is it that she said that would make this great faith? It was her passion. It was her persistence. The disciples tried to get rid of her and she wouldn't leave. Jesus ignored her. She wouldn't leave. Jesus made a statement to her about just coming to the Jews. She wouldn't leave. Jesus actually called her a dog. She wouldn't leave. Great is your faith. Well, that's a good question we ought to ask ourselves. How great is our faith? Do we have great faith? Great faith doesn't quit. Great faith keeps coming. Great faith stays in there and hangs in there and will not quit, will not be denied. Lay down under the table till we get our miracle.
Amen.
See, even a dog sometimes has more faith than we do. I think it's fascinating. My dogs, my yard dogs, you know, they would love to catch a squirrel. I don't know if they're ever going to catch one, but they'd love to catch a squirrel. I see them sitting for hours out under trees like this. At the base of it. And I know that they have run a squirrel up the tree. That's persistence. I mean, I've seen them bowl one over. They double-teamed a squirrel the other day and bowled it over. That squirrel just actually made a wrong turn, went out toward the pond instead of toward the tree. And I thought, they're going to get him. And they ran right into that squirrel. They all flipped over in a tangle. The squirrel popped out and ran over to another tree and got up. I thought, man, that was so close. But to this day, I've got one old dog. He's a Amos, famous Amos. He's just a stray we picked up. Somebody dropped him off, and we started feeding him. And, you know, you'd think he was raised by a puppy, you know, since he's a puppy from us, because he just, you'd think he's our dog. And he is now, you know, but he just barely gets around, you know, like this. Boy, a squirrel comes by, he turns into just a two-year-old dog. He runs so fast. He's persistent. I think eventually they're going to catch one. I can't wait to come tell you a sermon. They finally caught a squirrel. We need that kind of persistence, amen?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. And I think it's interesting that he called her a dog, and she used that same example right back at him. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Wow. Let it be to you as you desire. You know, what is it that you desire? If you put all the pieces together, there's a lot you desire. Everybody hopes to be better. Everybody hopes to have a better marriage or hopes to have a better life, healing, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's financial. I don't know. Maybe it's peace. Maybe you're fighting some, you know, depression or whatever the case may be. Life's full of tragedy. I understand that. And there's a lot of challenges. We're in a broken, fallen world. But I know this, that if you put passionate faith with your desires, then you'll get whatever you desire. But just desiring it once is not enough. It takes passionate faith for your desires to come true. It takes a persistent faith, great faith, for your dreams to come true. Dreams don't come cheap. Dreams take some faithfulness and some faith. They take some determination and consistency. And man, I mean persistence. I know here in the church, you know, we got some great things happening in our church, but I'll tell you, it's 27 years of believing God and standing on the Word and not giving up and not throwing a towel in when it would seem like that was the smartest thing to do. in the natural. It seemed that way. It seemed like that would have been the thing, financially even many times, it seemed like that would be the best thing to do. To me, it seemed like, to me in many cases, that I could have gone over to a bigger city and take another church and gone off in another ministry, but I knew in my heart that's not what God said. And if I hung in here and believed God, He would come through. He always comes through. Whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20, or 25, 30 years, it doesn't matter. If we'll hang in here and believe God, we'll always see it come to pass, because passionate faith brings your desires.
Yes. Amen.
Faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. If you want to put substance to what you hope for, what you desire, what you dream, then you need faith to make your dreams come true. Dreams don't come cheap. Dreams come as you're passionate about them, as you put your faith behind them. Even in the business world, they'll tell you that. And they got that from the Bible, incidentally. They just don't know it. I mean, they'll tell you in leadership seminars, they'll tell you all the books you want to read on raising your self-esteem, how to win friends and influence people, all those kind of books. They're just filled with scriptural, biblical principles from the Word of God. That's all they are. They're in the Bible long before they're in those books. If you will not give up on your dream, if you will believe God and stand on His Word and stand on His promises, and you won't quit, you will not turn around, and you will not be denied, and you do not turn to the left or the right, but you focus in on this, then you will have your desires and your dreams come to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Amen?
Amen. That's a focus. We often quote that, and we even put it into a song. Actually, Brenda had Chris put that in a song we sing. Brother Osteen used to quote this all the time. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end that the dream is true. You got to do a lot of fighting to get that dream come true. A lot of believing, a lot of passionate faith. You'll hit a lot of obstacles. You'll have to jump a lot of hurdles. But if you don't quit, you'll win.
That's right. That's good.
And this woman is case in point of that. Great faith. Man, that's pretty wild when you go through the Scripture. See how many times Jesus said, great faith. This is great faith. Amen. And this great faith, the only thing you can say for sure that without some speculation is great faith is persistent faith. Great faith was passionate faith. It wasn't all the things necessarily she said. It was the fact that she kept saying them and she kept coming and she wouldn't quit. That's great faith.
Amen.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You just have to be persistent. Don't give up. Amen. 28th verse again. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Praise God.
Praise wow. God. Don't you love it? I mean, that is just an awesome story of persistence and passion. Well, you know what? That woman was a Greek, a Canaanite, Syrophoenician woman. And yet that woman got her miracle. How much more you and I? We're born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Bought and paid for with His blood. By stripes we're healed. What are we doing letting the devil talk us out of our miracle?
Amen.
What are we doing letting the devil steal from us what Jesus shed His blood for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we doing giving up and giving in and being victims when we were born to be victors? Man, if I were you, I would get so upset and mad at the devil, not God. Get mad at the devil, and I would not let him do that to me. How dare he try to do that to my kids? How dare he do that to me? Who does he think he is? He is a defeated foe.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I am not going to give up on this. I am not going to quit. I am not going to tuck tail and run here.
That's right. Amen.
No, sir. Jesus paid too great a price and told me to come and told me to ask and told me to call and said He'd do it. I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit till I get it.
Amen.
Amen.